Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Shadows. I'm Stuart Best, where the paranormal is normal, where that which you thought you knew, you didn't. And where the future can be known if you know exactly where to look.
Well, hello, everybody. And tonight we got Larry with us, who is always full of news and information. And we're going to be talking about a number of things tonight that are, I think, of very importance. One of them is the arrival and the alien government connection and the secrets that they're holding back from the American people for probably any number of reasons. Hi, Larry. How are you doing tonight?
Hello, Stuart. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. You did a review on the, or you watched that Ed Dames, Dr. Doom's new DVD. We need a critique on that. I haven't seen it yet, so could you fill us in line by line as to what basically it talks about?
Well, interestingly, the title of it is Exposing the Agenda, and I think his website's exposingtheagenda.com. Very interesting, though. He goes back into the early years of the U.S. and talks about, like Eisenhower and back in that time frame, and discusses the ET situation being involved with our world militaries, and especially the, I guess you could say, the atomic side of things. The ETs either were observing or interfering at times in activities that our government was doing, and how that it seems we could not stop them from this. In other words, we simply don't appear to have defenses that prevents them from either observing or interfering in our military activities. And of course, he's coming from the military point of view because of the fact that he was that remote viewing really was used considerably in the military field and by the military trying to spy on China, Russia, differs such as that. And I think that he also has been intrigued with the question of whoever these ETs are, as he calls them, or these others than us are that are doing this. They appear to have technologies that we simply don't have any idea of, and that operates on a level we can't really do much with. And And his question was, for a while, because of the ETs being present, apparently, in not only, military events and situations, but also in the remote viewing, they found that the ETs were present and observing even all the way up to the kill shot. And he was suggesting that would there be a way we could contact those visitors, so to speak, and see if they would help change the events of the kill shot. Now he does, in this Exposing the Agenda, really break down more clearly that this sun event is not just, it's not like knowing where one giant flare comes out and it's all done. He does go in and take some time and explain that during their sessions that they viewed this, it's a series of CMEs and radiation and flares off the sun that just began to devastate Earth. Now, what's interesting, it's not, you've seen the movie Knowing. I mean, that's really an incredible movie in a way. But he says that there are portions of our planet that there are safe places that even some of these places on the planet, actually the power grids are left operating or left in place. By these his so-called kill shot event that actually is a series over a period of time of events, and which I know you'll find a very interesting scenario.
Does he go back into the Eisenhower ET meeting?
No, he doesn't go there directly, but what he does do is go back into the portion of the so-called Cold War before Russia had the SS, right now, Russia's selling some of the SS unit, the missile defense, and missile also ICBM offensive nuclear weapons. Before they had those, and Ed Dames, of course, releasing now this new data that we did have a plan. Our government, our military had a plan to do a first strike on Russia and completely take them out as a world player at all. I mean, just finished off the threat. Now, he said that this was in play. This was actually laid out, planned, all of the... the mathematics of it showed that Russia would be devastated with a first strike and would not be able to hit us back, and we would virtually remove them from the world scene. However, the ETs intervened on this, Stuart. Now, whoever these ETs are, whether they're fallen angels, whether they're, whoever they are, they intervened and they would not allow our technology, even though we had the technology to do the first strike, they began to manipulate the carrier weapons. In other words, our ICBMs, nuclear facilities, they began to manipulate all of these, turn everything off, shut them down, even brought our missiles down. In other words, he said in remote viewing, to see what was wrong and who was fooling with us, our missile technology, ICBMs, would be fired up in the air to do a test of a MIRV, and they'd get so high, and then you would see this white ether or some type of almost invisible object appear. The missile immediately goes awry, goes off, and either has to be exploded or goes off and crashes. But the only thing that appeared to stop the interference with our technology was when the Russians actually developed the what they call those, the latest generation of ICBMs that we can't stop. And the ones they have now, actually. And therefore, when you run the mathematics, we can't completely take them out without them hitting us, too. So... there went the preemptive strike that the government and the military was planning for some time. Now, he wouldn't go into whose administrations that was in. He wouldn't do that. But he said it was definitely a plan, and we were going to do it. It was set to be done. And then what he calls the ET interference began. Whether Stuart, Russia is part of the end time play, and actually they couldn't change history, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Well, the Lord would let them.
Russia was such an important part of the end time game that, something would not allow us to take out Russia as we thought we could. And that's what's interesting, because it ties in a little bit, Stuart, with the remote viewing that Ed did in his last book out, and I shared that with you, where he wanted to view what happened to the Ark of the Covenant and, when Jerusalem fell and all of this. And he said when they kept trying, they could watch it, they could see it, they could see the priest around the Ark of the Covenant and a lot of movement and the Romans moving through Jerusalem. And he said, but every time they tried to see who got the Ark, where the Ark went or was taken, he said, something blocked their view, and he said it was certainly not human.
Well, I think people need to understand a couple of things, too, and that is that there is an agenda going on. In Isaiah, the Lord makes it pretty plain that my hand is stretched out upon the nations, and I have a plan, I have an agenda, and I'm going to do it, and nobody's going to stop me. And so when our leaders decided they were going to preempt and strike Russia, the Lord just simply said, well, maybe you think you are, but you're not, because I need the Soviet Union to destroy you when the time is right. And this is amazing to me, though, because I remember when Dick Cheney and Bush were in power. There was a lady, I believe she was in Vermont or New Hampshire. Anyway, she was told by the Lord that Cheney and the administration were going to be absolutely frustrated in their attempt, I believe it was, to take out basically Iraq or Iran. I can't remember which nation it was. And that every attempt that was made was going to be frustrated. You remember the nukes disappearing from Dakotas? You remember
absolutely.
That scenario?
Yes, absolutely. There was a number, about three or four or five of them, they were trying to move.
Yeah. Now, did anybody figure out where they went?
No. I'll tell you what happened, and it's kind of interesting. You know, this is when I think they wound up in Louisiana at that Barksdale Air Force Base down there, that SAC base, Strategic Air Command.
Oh, that's right.
You know, the
yes.
Base. And remember, they had moved them there, but they got caught with them. Something happened, and they got caught, and it stopped whatever plan, the ultimate plan that they did have, apparently. So there's been a lot of nuclear movement for some time, you know, and of course, the American people know nothing of this, basically. I mean, you know, even the few that listen to conspiracy theories, or so to speak, on the Internet, you know, they don't believe in this anyway. I mean, but it really is.
No, I don't know why they listen. They don't believe it. Why do they? Maybe it's entertainment. It's like going to a good movie or something. I don't know.
Well, you pick up on these, most of the time you'll pick up some of the data from a whistleblower, usually using Steve Quayle, George Nuri. They used to use Art Bell in the same way, you know.
Yes.
You know, real information, real data would be, disseminated basically as a conspiracy theory, but it was all in time used to release data to actually stop the event. And there's no telling how many false flags have really been stopped by just simply information leaking out.
Yeah, and I do remember that they must have had some, shall we say, large firecrackers on a B-1 bomber out of, Garcia Island there? Lego de what's the name of
Diego
that?
Diego Garcia,
yeah. I'm getting old. My mind is wandering. but it crashed. And it was heading out for one of Cheney's little stunts, and he never got what he wanted. And so you can, when you look back on all this, you can see the hand of the Lord operating magnificently, actually stopping whatever he wants to stop, allowing what he wants to allow. And his will is going to be done here, whether people like it or don't like it. And you can just see this. I mean, when Ed Dames is talking about, we tried, but it didn't work. That's why it didn't work. And I don't know why people can't figure out that there really is a God. And although he allows people sort of free reign, I liken it to putting a baby into a crib. Planet Earth is the crib, and the Lord allows us to play with toys, but not
yeah.
all the toys, and not exactly when we might like to play with them. So, you know, again, that's that agenda underfoot. When you mentioned Eisenhower, it brought back a memory, because this ties right directly into the UFO situation. When I was flying for, I can't remember if it was Northern Pacific at the time or Burlington Northern Railroad, but I had a first officer on board, Ed Haynes was his name, and he was a naval commander. And we were flying one night, and he looked over and he says, "I got something I want to tell you." And I said, "Yeah, go ahead, Ed." And he said, that UFO incident where a UFO came in, and I'm paraphrasing now, and landed. He said there was a big mothership that landed in an abandoned field in New Mexico. And all these leaders, military as well as civilian, came in, got on board this huge mothership that was sitting on the ramp. It had arrived. They were on board for 4 or 5 hours, he said. And then everybody got out and drove away, and the mothership took off and just disappeared into the heavens. And then the military base where they were at was kind of broken down, and everything removed. And
well,
when I was
when
I was flying for UPS, we used to fly into Smyrna, Tennessee. I think it's Tennessee. I can't remember now. But there was a kind of an abandoned field. But at midnight, all the lights came on, and airplanes came in from all over, basically the world, landed, and they exchanged all the flight packages and everything else. So having seen it and witnessed it with my own eyes, you would think it was an abandoned base when, in fact, it really wasn't.
Wow.
And so, yeah, they, you know, they have their little secrets. And what else did he have to say about this on a
well,
DVD?
He was very interested in the ET situation and, you know, gave in detail the event a number of years ago where, and you may remember it, in Africa there was an orphanage or something, a school for children, and one landed outside, and all the kids went outside and went over and talked to some beings that came out of that craft. They said all of them, a lot of the beings, yeah, were small. But remember, they said there was one that was seemed to be in charge that was really tall, you know. And he said that that Tom Mack, or I believe that was his name. Mack was his last name. It's one of the. It was not Tom Mack, the professor that does Torah code, or Bible codes. It was. The Tom Mack, I believe, that actually, yeah, that does abduction, you know, a lot of abduction investigations and such as that, and UFOs, said that he went over there within a few days and talked and interviewed a number of these children, and said that the children said that these entities that talked to them by telepathy, it wasn't a voice, but it was in their minds, actually seemed more interested and concerned about the planet rather than the people on it. In other words, humanity didn't seem to be their main concern. Their main concern seems to be this planet and the system it's in. And so he said, and
that's kind of an insult.
That's
an insult to humanity, but it's like the day the earth stood still, remember?
Well, it's a whole lot like that, and that was the language basically that these ETs was giving these children, was that they were very concerned, and Ed Dame said that some of the remote viewing that they've done of the kill shot series of events that occur, he said that he has changed his mind now. He said he thought maybe we had a deal or maybe we could do something. The ETs might be able to help us and avoid the kill shots. And that's when he goes back to 2012 and he talks about the shot across the bow. You remember that, you know?
Oh, yes.
You know, where we had that flare that came off the sun, and if we'd have been like 8 days later, it would have incinerated the planet, you know, but he said 8 days made the difference, and it just barely missed it. And he called that shot across the bow the one he had warned about, I believe, way back on Art Bell, actually, and I know he did on George Murray's shows, Coast to Coast AM. And he said that they were watching and they were observing. In other words, when they would remote view these events, that the ETs, as he called them, were observing all this. And he said he's now come to the conclusion, after a number of years, that he thought the ETs would actually intervene maybe on mankind's behalf. And now this is my word, okay, Stuart? You know, this is not Ed Dames. This is mine. Ed Dames
yep.
calls it the kill shot events. I call it judgment, a time of judgment.
Yes.
And he says that they're going to only observe this event, and millions and millions and millions of humanity will die. And they will not intervene. They're going to sit back and observe it only, and they're only going to be the observers. And so, you know, there we go to that term, that biblical term, watchers, and it makes you wonder. You know, there are events that apparently that they can't intervene or interfere with. And you know, there's a line drawn apparently by the Lord, and you know, they can do certain things. They're given certain leeway, I suppose you would say, with humanity and the planet, but apparently not a free hand, so to speak, which goes along with what you were talking about.
Well, that would be in keeping with biblical prophecy, because it says, I think it's in Isaiah, that the sun will give off seven times the light that it does now, and the moon will give off the light of the sun. Now, when you couple that remark with what Dr. LaViolette has found out about the approaching gravity wave and the cosmic energy wave that accompanies it, that the force evidently of this wind, and you can call it a wind, it's like the solar wind, only this is coming from the Milky Way core when it explodes.
Uh-huh.
And we already have the pictures of it, so we know that there's a lot of activity going on in the core. And, of course, that activity we're photographing is like 23 to 26 million light years away, or 1,000 light years away. I think it's 1,000 light years. So that wind that comes from there overcomes the solar wind, and it drives dust clouds that are out there towards the sun, and it finally gets to the sun, and then the sun ignites that dust, and that would explain partially, at least, the comments of the Lord of gloominess and darkness, and nobody really wants to know about the day of the Lord, or nobody wants to pray for it, because it's a day of darkness, a day of gloominess. And at the same time, the sun dims way down, and the moon does, and the stars do. So if that is the prophetic word, then the watchers would not be allowed, because it's part of God's program for humanity and Christ rejection. I know people hate that word, Jesus Christ. All you got to do is say it, and people go out ballistic. So, yeah, what else does he talk about? That's fascinating.
Well, one thing that he did say was very interesting to me, because you remember in 2012 where they start the movie, and I know a lot of people said, well, that movie is almost like a cartoon or a comic book. Well, it really wasn't.
Well, then
there was science involved.
Yeah.
And yes. You remember how it started out. They were gauging the center of the planet being agitated by the sun and I can't remember the terminology they used in the movie, the Torinos or the
neutrinos
or something like that. Yeah, they were agitated. They were heating up the core of the planet, and it was causing movement and shift and all of this kind of thing. And, of course, volcanoes, earthquakes, et cetera, as the planet was beginning to, again, one more time, enlarge, you know, in other words,
yes.
movement. He went into that, and he said that apparently, from what they've been able to look at and view, it is absolutely the activity of the sun that's going on that is disturbing. And it's interesting he uses that term, disturbing the core of the planet, because you remember that Norwegian seer. You remember
yes.
he was talking about disquietings in the middle of the planet and in the interior of the planet. There was he used that old saying or that old language, disquietings, which I found unusual, you know.
Yes.
Anton Johansson was his name, if anybody wants to, you know, look him up. Anton Johansson, about 100 years ago, prophesied and said all these things and described our time, where there would be these events of the sun and the disquietings of the interior of the planet. And then in 2016, you got Ed Dames on a DVD that just came out saying exactly the same terminology, except he's talking about disturbances, that the sun is causing disturbances to the core of the planet that is causing not only movement, you know, magma movement and displacement and all of this, but also that's causing the increased volcanic activity, shifts in the tectonic plates. I mean, you know, all this seems to link together, and it's really interesting. It's not the DVD. I got a copy of it the other day when it first came out, because I like to really. Ed Dames releases a lot of stuff that's actually probably at one time classified, and I like to lean into that. Now, you know, and I'm not telling people, and Stuart, I want to say this, you know, I'm not telling people they need to go start remote viewing. I'm not doing that at all. I'm just saying that remote viewing apparently is a tool or something that they have used, which has brought up some really interesting scenarios that seems to chime out accurately with science and the Bible in many instances.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. And this would be, Stan Dale has long thought that the earth is expanding. And I think the Bible teaches that it does when it says hell enlarges itself.
Yeah.
There are other comments that would tend to indicate that the earth is indeed expanding. Now, if you get into Native American prophecy, you've got that ne'er-do-well erstwhile no-eyes who talks about, she talks all about this, you know, rifts developing, sinkholes developing. Now, she released that years and years ago. Nobody even knew really what a sinkhole was. And now you read about them practically every week. And she says the sinkhole phenomenon is going to get so bad, it's actually going to start swallowing up entire towns.
Mm.
And then these rifts that are developing, there's a new ocean forming, they think, over, where is that? In India? No.
No, Africa.
Where is that? Africa, yes.
I'm trying to remember the exact nation over there, and I can't right this minute. I'm not sure if it's Kenya. It's a massive opening, a rift that has happened that is literally letting the sea into the interior of that country and forming a massive lake. I mean, it's really, you know what's interesting, Stuart, you mentioned Stan Dale, and you know, he even used the term because of the activity within the core of the planet and the magma movement and displacement and all of this, you know, he was one of those also that just chimed right in with, he called them stretch marks on that surface of the planet, the sinkholes and the ground moving. And you know, there was pictures a year or two ago, remember out in the desert, Nevada maybe, or in
yes.
that region where the ground would literally divide and leave a chasm, you know.
That's going on in a lot of different places. I saw a photograph, I think it was in Michigan, of a rift area. And there are others, too, where you're getting landslides because of massive underground movement. Remember Larry Parks?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Have you ever heard from him since?
I got his book. And soon after I got his book, he kind of, I think he was told to shut up.
Yeah.
I really do. I believe he was told to just shut his mouth and or else, you know, there'd be problems. And he had hit the nail right on the head. He is the one who said that there's a huge magma river, if you recall, coming up through Baja Peninsula, all the way into California, and then it breaks off and goes into Yellowstone.
That's right. I remember that now.
Remember that? And
yeah.
He was warning about earthquakes, and he was saying that a lot of these loud booms that people are hearing are actually earthquake booms. And remember in the Bible where it says the rocks will cry out?
Absolutely.
Okay. what are we hearing in the atmosphere? A lot of the scientists that claim these very strange rumbles and gratings that you hear, and I've heard them twice myself. I was outside, and I heard, it was in the summertime, and I heard what sounded like a plow with its blade down, running on the concrete, but there was no plow, and there was no truck. And they claimed, you begin to wonder, and it's very, very loud. And I heard it twice, and he said that this is part of the expansion process, and the grating sounds are the rocks deep underneath. We're talking, remember how we were having all those earthquakes at specific levels?
That's right.
All around the planet? And we kept commenting about that. I can't remember what the depth was, but it was always the same depth.
10 miles.
That's right. It was. It was 10 miles. And it was over and over and over again for months that we were tracking that. So this is part of the some scientists have examined that, and they think what happens is that although the noise and everything is, the event is happening deep underground, it broadcasts up and bounces off the atmosphere, so you think it's actually coming from the heavens.
Well, interesting,
it's coming from,
Ed Dames said that they looked into that phenomena because it was being reported so often, and he totally agrees. He said what they found was deep underground movement was causing the booms, and that it was not coming. It was not coming from, in other words, it wasn't cosmic booms. It was coming from deep under the earth, but it sounded like it was in the atmosphere.
Yes. And the Bible does say that the rocks will cry out, and so it's just one more sign of Messiah, whom everybody evidently doesn't care for anymore. But nevertheless, you know, this is an amazing phenomenon to me. As biblical prophecy is fulfilled, and I'm sure you found the same thing, with 100% accuracy, right down to the very words,
people are
abandoning it.
Yeah, that's very true. Now, one of the things that he did say was interesting because there is some reports out there that they have placed spacecraft on the other side of the sun to observe us. They're watching for these solar flares, the ones that's coming at Earth. They're watching them from the other side of the sun with spacecraft. And he said the most interesting thing about this was, he said there will be, he said the only people that will receive the warnings from those spacecraft are going to be the elite at the top. He said they'll have 24 to 36 hours to get underground when these events begin to happen and the spacecraft actually send their alerts that only the elite will know. And he said the general public will never know or never be told or warned.
Okay, now let's relate this over to knowing. And in that movie, only the children were removed. And what was fascinating to me about that movie, and of course Hollywood gets a lot of this stuff, they know what's going on and they're feeding it out there a little bit at a time, but remember all the kids were given a black stone. Excuse me. Jesus Christ gives a white stone. It's the white stone of acquittal.
That's,
so isn't
that's
it fascinating?
Term. Right. Yeah.
Yeah,
what I was thinking, though, too, is that there's an irony to that almost, because, you know, you talk about, Stuart, about us being in a negative universe. So in the movie, a black stone in a negative universe would appear white, or vice versa.
Yes, it would. Kind of fascinating, but you had a vision about the kids being removed, right? If I remember
I did. Yes, there was some type of an arrival. But it was all, it was a, an arrival that was pre-planned with the police and the military assisting the ones arriving in the roundup.
Now, was it ours or theirs, or didn't you ever find out as far as were these aliens actually, or were these our own advanced anti-gravity craft?
Yeah, I do not know. I absolutely do not know. Now, the craft that I saw in this experience that I had, this dream vision, they were, you remember that mothership thing on the moon, the one they called Mona
Yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
Okay. It wasn't a saucer craft. It was a long craft, remember? And they actually showed a picture of it on the moon, and what's interesting, that was basically the shape of these things that came in our atmosphere. And so it's entirely possible that it could be, you know, craft that we've created. You remember Stan Dale talked about if you have anti-gravity, that the size is not a problem. In other words, he says that, you know, a lot of people think, well, it would do good to get up a small craft. But he said, no, a two-mile-long craft is easily done, you know, with anti-gravity. So, you know, but I was not able to see in this vision I had, this dream vision. It was a dream, actually, but very, very clear and vivid. I was in a pickup truck, and these things began to show up in the sky, and one of them began to land close to me in a community. So I drove over there in the dream, and I got outside, and I was observing in the distance these things land, and the military and the police arrive, and you know, the children were separated from the adults and taken into the craft. Now, I never saw the occupants of the craft. I could not see who was in it, so I don't know who was the you know, the ones doing the craft. I don't have a clue. But you know, we do know that there are black projects, and a number of people over the years have released a little data. Now, I guess all of them are passed on by now, but you know, you remember they were talked about people being abducted and taken to Mars. There are colonies that are underground
Yes.
on Mars and other planets, and you know, I know that's kind of way out there for a lot of people, but you know, you don't know.
Well, I think the proof texts are overwhelming. If you look in the Bible, specific in prophecy, it says, though they make their nest in the stars, yet will I go there, and I'll bring them down. So even the Bible talks about these people making their nest in the stars, and of course this means, you know, planets.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Dr. Peter Bader, a long time ago, he's dead now, but he was an insider's insider. And he was releasing information about the cloning of our leaders. You never even knew if you were looking at a leader or a clone. But he talked about these cosmospheres, these
yeah.
Russian cosmospheres that were like a mile or 2 miles long. And I have personally seen two of those. In fact, I wasn't alone. There were about 400 or 500 people in Wisconsin that saw them.
Huh.
And I think what happened was that rather than go and take a beating from a solar flare, they were very high up, but they were kind of just sitting there, probably
huh.
below the Van Allen belt. And hundreds of people saw them in Wisconsin. And they were silver color, like a cow magnet, actually, only they must have been huge in size. And he claimed they basically are freighters.
Huh.
They and didn't Stan, if I remember right, talk about how they were operating in and out of Antarctica?
Yes, he did. He absolutely did. You know, yeah, that what you're talking about sounds like they actually came down close to the planet to avoid either extreme solar radiation or the flare itself, you know.
Yes, I think that's what they were doing. They were just riding kind of like what we used to do when we were flying jets. You don't fly through a squall line. You find a way around it or over it.
Mm.
And if you can't, you turn around and land and let it go through and then take off. So, yeah, they're just being smart. They're just sitting up there. And like you were saying, they could take the Great Pyramid and it would weigh nothing. You and I could pick it up with a finger and float it. And I don't think people realize that weight means nothing in anti-gravity with an anti-gravity engine. It's as light as it's even lighter than a feather. It weighs nothing at all. And so anyway, this is interesting that in that movie, knowing children were removed, and that's exactly what happened in your vision, your dream.
That's true.
It's the same concept.
True.
So then the question becomes, where did they go? You know?
That I don't know. Yeah, I have no clue. You remember that I had one experience one time, you know, where I actually, when you were actually doing the Typhonia.
Yes.
The deal on that, you know, I actually followed, and here we go again, everybody can blink, but I actually followed a saucer craft from Earth that had abductees in it. I followed it to the planet Mars, and it went underground. I followed it underground. There was four or five saucer craft parked there. So there, you know, I'm not asking anybody to believe me, of course. It probably would be more real to me who did it than the ones that I tell about it. But interestingly, apparently there are bases underground and other locations. And a matter of fact, Stuart, Ed Dames, one of the things he brings out in this DVD is the fact that they really watch closely activity on the moon. And he said, and, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, when you did the Typhonia image
mm-hmm.
there, you found ancient, what appeared to be ancient buildings, abandoned buildings on Mars, plus
yes.
some that weren't that ancient, you know, artificial structures and technology. You know, and even you found a craft in the image too, a saucer craft, I believe it was.
And, yeah, two of them.
And Ed Dames said the very same thing about. He said when they looked at the moon, there was a lot of ancient. He said there's actually a lot of structures on the moon that there were still robotics operating some kind of mining operations there. Now you remember. You know, in the book, you probably can't even find it anymore. Amazon probably has a front page image. You'll never find the book. They got rid of all of them. But Ingo Swann, that's Ingoswann, that's his name. He was the father of remote viewing. He actually is the one that taught Ed Dames remote viewing. Ingo Swann was brought to a place he thought was Mount Weather, possibly. He wasn't sure. And he was sent to a coordinated location on the moon to observe what appeared to be some kind of mining operation there. And remember, it had humanoid people there that were mining and operating this stuff. And you remember that. It's a book.
Book's
name is Penetration. It just had a one word. Penetration is the name of it by Ingo Swann on Amazon. Years ago, they had the copies of it. And what's interesting is Ed Dames says that they have those mining operations going on, whether they're ancient and the robotics are still operating and just carrying on the procedures, or there's others down there that we don't know about. He doesn't know, but he said there's a crater on the dark side of the moon, on the dark side, that he said
mm-hmm.
looks like a E.T. parking lot. He said a multi-story parking lot. He said there is a place there that is loaded with vehicles of some kind of craft, and he does not know who this is or what they are and or what they're doing, actually. But he said, it's just right there, he said, on our front door, right there on the moon. And he said, you can imagine what may be on the other planets.
Yeah. I have a picture, and I think I put it in one of the Prophetic Insiders. I'm sure you saw it. It was on an asteroid. I think it was Eros. And
yes.
you can see
yes.
plain as day in a crater some sort of a mining operation going on, or some sort of a craft that's involved in mining or exploratory. because after all, let's face it, minerals are of extreme value. And if you go into Hollywood movies, a lot of those deal in mining operations.
That's right.
And you remember the movie was Sigourney Weaver? What was the name of that? Aliens.
Or Predator.
Yeah,
and
they had these bases all over the place. And I think a lot of that is, I think Hollywood leaks disinformation out bit by bit. I think it's part of the acclimation project. I'm not sure why they're being so careful about it, because the vast majority of people cannot get outside of their own little kingdom, and they can't open up their mind or their heart that this stuff is real, and that the space shuttle program is for public consumption, but there's a secret one with the TR-3Bs and all of that going on side by side.
Well, you know, they're according to Lucas Antonberlino, I believe is his name.
Mm-hmm.
He's an Italian journalist tied in with the Vatican, and a real acquaintance of Paola Harris over there, who was an investigative journalist into UFOs. He clearly claims that he has interviewed, and I've seen the interviews, actually, that he has interviewed. He's from Italy now, and his website's an Italian website, but he's got English, an English side
mm-hmm.
of it, and his books are German or Italian. He hasn't printed them in English yet, but, he clearly claims that he's interviewed some of the joint Russian American teams of the Apollo, like Apollo 20, and some of those that they claim never occurred, never happened, even though they had all of those Apollos ready for launch, you had to do is just use one. He said that they were militarized, and in one of them, Apollo 20, they talked about, and even the pilot of one of these talks about, they went to the moon, they went to the location, there was a city there, there was also that giant spacecraft that appears to be shot down or crashed on the moon. And you remember that was the one they went into that probably reminded you a lot of Aliens, that where they went inside this monstrous craft that had storage containers of all kind of minerals and creatures and et cetera, you know. Well, this also had stuff like that, but it also had one of the pilots and it's the one they call Mona Lisa. If anybody
Mona Lisa,
read
yes.
that, they can go to viewzone.com. That's viewzone.com. You know, Gary Vay, we know him from, talking
evil
about
fire
from
made
heaven.
To burn.
Yeah, there you go. Evil fire made to burn. Yeah, that same Gary Vay. Anyway, they said that this pilot was literally wrapped in what appeared to be a space suit that was a total internal computer system that was keeping the individual alive on that ship. And that's the one they called Mona Lisa. They extracted this creature, and it was a humanoid creature. You can see the pictures of it if you go there. And they brought that creature back to Earth, and it was still alive. And so there you go. If you want an alien, there's an alien. Maybe it's Nephilim, maybe Nephilim, or it could be a Nephilim hybrid. We're dealing with all kind of things here, and it's kind of interesting. You know, you and I are the age now we can kind of laugh at people that don't believe us. But what humanity has shown is history, and what is actually reality is two total different things.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even flying, we saw some things, there was a section in our flight manuals for reporting unusual sightings, UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Well, it's very, very rare that any crew member, particularly any captain, would ever file one of those reports, even though they might have even had a close call with one. Because you do get to see some strange things, particularly in the, at night when you're flying, particularly if you're down by Area 51 in that area and you're kind of skirting the no-fly zones, you know, the restricted zones.
Right.
And they are fooling with stuff that is probably beyond our imagination, I believe, anyway, from what I've seen and heard about.
Yeah.
So what else did he talk about? So this is quite a DVD then.
Well, it's interesting. It's only 47 minutes long, and when I got it, I didn't think it would have that much detail in it, but he really releases a lot of stuff that probably at one time was classified, and basically tells people that there's very much an ET situation, has been a long time, and that it has interfered. He talks about how that, you know, they would land by our nuclear facilities when we had something planned, and they would actually enter that facility.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't keep them out. No technology we had would keep them out. No weapons could keep them out. And they would completely turn off all our you know, even the like the nukes and things that were internally operable, they would be turned off. You couldn't fire the missiles. You couldn't. Nothing was on. It turned off everything. And he said nothing really appeared to even go inside to do that. They just literally would come over the facility and everything went down. You know, I guess you could say in our time space, it sounded like some kind of very unusual EMP weapon of some kind that literally turned everything electrical to zero, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about that and how that interfered with, of course, I've already talked about our ICBMs that we were trying to test with the MIRVs and all of this kind of stuff. And they were literally take over the ICBM and the MERS and all of it and mess it up. In other words, they would not allow us to actually bring it, everything to the point of a strike on Russia. And then, you know, now years down the road, looking back, Stuart, apparently the Lord needed Russia in the end times as a player.
Yes, a major player. In fact, the one that actually takes out the United States, you go into Ezekiel 38:39, and this, I believe it is the Soviets, and I have long thought that Perestroika and Glasnost were just for, how do I say, put the West to sleep, as Gorbachev said. Not Gorbachev, but I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, I think it was Gorbachev, actually. Who said, you know, it's window dressing.
Yeah.
And that when you see the military operations, when they're doing their exercises, almost all of the former Soviet satellites are involved in these Russian exercises. So,
right.
Ezekiel 38:39 says, when they're upon the mountains of Israel, they think an evil thought. And I will go up to the land of unwalled villages to take a prey, to take a spoil. And England and the other nations, the Cubs of England, say, well, what are you doing here? Why have you invaded the United States? What's going on here? And I know a lot of people don't read it that way, but that's clearly what it does say, because they're already into Israel. They've already invaded upon the mountains of Israel. And it says, at that time thou shalt think an evil thought and go against the land of unwalled village. Go up, it says, go up north over the poles. So, you know, a lot of these expositors on prophecy say, well, the evil thought is they're going to go into Israel. They're already into Israel. So, no, this is another invasion. And if you go into Jeremiah, Isaiah, and the book of Revelation, you find out exactly who it is. It's the United States.
Yeah, isn't it interesting, too, Stuart? The last few years under Obama, if you watch very closely, you've seen a incredible movement of Russian warfare and military moving across the Arctic, setting up missile systems, setting up bases, setting up surveillance units. I mean,
yes.
They're moving in the Arctic already doing that. And, of course, You know, we know we've got the Russian subs in the Atlantic, but now, recently on the news, they're now also putting newer and quieter and quicker Russian submarines into the Pacific. So we're being surrounded literally by Russia, and you know, biblically it would be Russia.
Yes, it would. And, you know, you remember the movie Hunt for Red October?
Yes. That was a Tom Clancy novel.
And they used these silent... Yes, and they were using quiet subs. People ought to go
That
video or DVD now if they haven't seen it. It's called The Hunt for Red October. And pay very close attention to the Russian commanders, played by Sean Connery. He says, we're just going to sit out here and listen to their music, and they never know what hit them.
Right.
And that's, was it Gary Allen that had that vision about the strike against the United States? And it came
A.K. Allen? Well, there was a couple of them. One was A.A. Allen, but then later on, what's the guy from Washington State or out west? He also saw the missiles come out of the ocean. What was his name? I can't think of it right this minute, but there's been more than one that has seen this, you know, had visions of this.
Yeah, because I think it was A.A. Allen, and he was on the Empire State Building. He said he was looking through those binoculars. You put a quarter in and you get 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And he said he was taken over to the Gulf of Mexico, and the Statue of Liberty was in the Gulf, and it staggered and fell into the water, and it got back up, which, of course, Statue of Liberty would mean that something happens to our freedoms and the Constitution. And mm-hmm. Then he saw this skeleton rise up over from the north and blow what appears to be either chemical or biological attack and kills millions of Americans. And then missiles come up from the Atlantic, the Gulf, and over the poles in the Pacific. I mean, we're just destroyed. And Jeremiah and Isaiah say the same thing. And what I've been trying to warn people about is if you see an invasion of Israel, then a real invasion of Israel. I'm not talking about Hamas or any of those people. I'm talking about a huge invasion from the north parts into Israel. The United States probably has a week, maybe not even a day, before they're going to be destroyed.
Mm.
And that is prophetic. And it's just too bad that people refuse the identity of who the United States is. But that's another program, I guess. So Ed is really then warning us. Did he talk at all about the military-industrial alien complex or this collusion between the two at all? Does he get into that?
He talks about, you know, that they interact and, you know, but, you know, he was basically, of course, like I said, it's only like a 47-minute DVD. It's not a long one. I expect him to probably put out another one. What he basically was saying, though, the ETs, even though they're involved with humanity and the planet and really more concerned about sustaining the planet in some degree, that they do, they are involved. But he said that whenever the time comes for the kill shot, so to speak, or that series of events, they are only going to be observers. That's when they back off and only observe. And you know, it reminded me, Stuart, and I'll say this, it reminded me a lot of what he was saying. You know, when you look at this is what happened with Noah's flood. Really, the watchers, and you know, they all had to back off and just watch the destruction.
Yes.
And really the weaning down of mankind into about, what, 8 people left? And it reminded me of in the end time, and like Gary Vay, you know, he wrote the book Evil Fire Made to Burn from ancient legends and writings and petroglyphs, but it reminded me of the biblical, you know, where, you know, the rain or the flood you know, during Noah's time, our time is the fire, you know, cosmic fire, I suppose. It doesn't
yes.
say cosmic fire, but, it, you know, I look at it like, well, that could almost be, you know, if you go into Zephaniah, the book of Zephaniah, and you read it real closely, that's a time when a lot of things are killed that wasn't killed in the flood. I mean, this is a later judgment that does a lot more destruction, you know.
Yes.
And it even takes out the sea creatures and et cetera. But, you know, I find it really interesting that what Ed Dames is talking about could be the judgment that comes that's other than the flood, which is called fire. You know, we don't know exactly.
Yes.
It's not, you know, but it sounds like it could be. I really relate back again to that movie Knowing over and over. That movie is kind of almost foretelling in a way, just parts of it.
Yes, it is. It's very foretelling because that's what there was a Bible quote, and I can't remember who ran it, but a solar flare was going to destroy world civilization. I got it in one of the trailers, I think, for The Prophetic Insider. It's on YouTube, one of our channels there. But it's kind of fascinating that Knowing would parallel. So they must know exactly what's coming. And maybe that's why all the underground tunnels, maybe it doesn't have a lot to do with the destroyer per se, but more because of the solar kill shot that's coming. Because they would have to, if you remember the movie Knowing, he said, well, you got to be at least a mile underground.
2 miles. He said,
or you won't survive it.
Everything, yeah, he said the radiation will go 2 miles deep.
Yes. Well, how deep are a lot of those tunnels? They're
well, I don't
2 to 3 miles
deep.
But
I do know this. Yeah, I know this, Stuart. Interestingly, you remember some of the coal mines that they found structures and walls and all of this architecture and everything that, you know, almost the walls are polished, almost like the pyramid type technology. These are about
yes.
2 miles deep. And you remember the it said in the, I believe his name was Gray. The archaeologist Gray that got the information on the what they called
Jonathan
the
Gray
mirror, or the mirror.
Yeah, yep, Jonathan
you
Gray.
You remember that? Yeah, Jonathan Gray. You remember he said that they found this mirror device in a container about 2 miles down in a Russian coal mine.
Yes, I do. That's the golden mirror, and they activated it through frequencies changes.
That's right. That's right.
Well, isn't it the Bible that says what was will be again? There's nothing new under the sun. People don't believe
very
it.
Clear. Yeah.
So that means they had TVs, they had iPhones, iPads, computers.
Well, what was interesting, that golden mirror, you know, and I had talked to Jonathan Gray after, you know, you and I did, we did a few radio shows actually on that. And
yes, we
I
did.
Talked
yep.
to him after that. And he was holding back. He had a little more material, but he was holding back to do a DVD. In other words, he had done the release of the information originally, but he was going to do a exclusive Jonathan Gray DVD on the release of the Golden Mirror data and some interviews with some whistleblowers. And that, as far as I know, has never occurred. But I did talk to him, and he said, absolutely, this is real. He said, this was not made up. And remember the golden mirror now, you know, when the frequencies would turn it on and it would begin to scroll writing and messages like your email account or whatever that was coming
mm-hmm.
across the screen. And it also, remember, it showed, it had instilled in it photographs, vehicles that it looks like people could ride or transportation devices that were not ours. It was not like our cars, but similar, some kind of transportation. And remember it talked in there about Noah. I mean, it talked about Adam and about the time Adam and those right after Adam had a glow about them and had abilities that later on when this golden mirror was recorded, I guess, the people didn't have that anymore. They had left the supernatural, so to speak, and the glow that mankind had been given through Adam and Eve, And remember, it said that they begin to develop technology to do these things instead of trying to do
yes.
it the old way, as they called it.
Yeah, and they called Adam an idiot, basically.
Yeah.
I remember that are kind of laughing, but I guess their clothing and everything is like what we have today. Well, that's what it says in the Bible, that what was will be again. There's nothing new under the sun at all. So we just go through
right.
these cycles. That's fascinating. Anything else you want to bring out about that DVD before we move on to politics, I guess, and war?
Yeah, I'm just going to say that now Ed Danger does not say what causes the sun to begin this series of events that disturbs the interior of the earth and causes the solar flares, but, you know, since I also have seen, had an up-close view of the destroyer, I wonder,
yes.
Stuart, if it's the destroyer, in other words, the, you know, since we're in a
binary system, yeah.
Binary star system, the other star, the destroyer, I wonder if it's not that in proximity to our own sun. It comes so close that it, because of, you know, the fail star, the weight of, they say, of a dwarf star, even though it's smaller, they say this,
yes.
the gravity weight of it is incredible. And matter of fact, they made a movie. They actually made a movie called Impact. If you can ever get that movie, it's about a piece of a dwarf star that hits the moon and a piece hits the earth, and they actually start drawing each other closer and closer. It's a kind of an interesting movie, and it causes lots of electrical or electromagnetic anomalies, which, of course, we're seeing today. But I wonder, Stuart, if the destroyer and its entourage, the proximity of that and the sun causes the sun to go, what, viral or kind of crazy?
Yes. Yep, yep. And it already is acting very strange. It goes from no sunspots to now casting off weird, weird stuff. And I don't think we have a clue. And, you know, when you get into the gravity wave and you get into what they have found out by digging down through the ice core, they have found out that every time there is a minor gravity or cosmic wave that goes through, that it distorts DNA and genetics, and mutations begin. And then it settles back down again until the next wave, and then there's more mutations and DNA changes. And,
let me ask you this,
you know,
Stuart. Yeah, I just wanted to ask
yep.
you right there, because you've done some research and study on that really, which is really recent terminology, you know, the galactic wave. Did you
yes.
say also that they distort or they do something, tweak maybe, that's my term, time-space to some degree?
Yes. Yes, they do. In fact, they don't really know exactly what it does. But, yes, it distorts time and space, as well as it might even make a dimensional shift. There's a guy over, he's a mystic, and I don't have it in front of me, but basically what he said was, when this cosmic fire wave comes through, certain people are removed instantly. And I thought, boy, that sounds an awful lot like the Bride of Christ being taken out. And the people that are left behind are in serious, how do we say, serious trouble.
Yeah.
Which is basically what the Bible says. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be again. Now, if you go into the book of Daniel, Michael, you know, when he stands upon one foot on the land and one foot on the shore or the ocean, says there is a time of trouble not like anything ever seen before. So what I think is going on is exactly what you just said. We have the entourage of the destroyer coming in. It ignites the sun. And then we have the gravity wave at the same time coming all together, which is probably why the Lord said, this is a time of trouble unlike anything ever seen. and it's going to virtually wipe out humanity, and there is no escape. I know a lot of these black ops like Alternative 3 with their bases on the moon and their bases on Mars, and some people even claim bases on Venus, etc. They think they're somehow going to escape this. This gravity wave comes through the entire solar system.
Yeah.
And that's probably why the Lord says, I don't care where you go. You can go to the bottom of the ocean, or you can build your little nest in the stars, but I'm going to come there and get you. So this is a solar system waster, not just humanity on planet Earth. This is much bigger than that.
Incredible. Well, let me ask you
really
something.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, let me ask you something really, really bizarre, because you said we can get really strange on this show. You know, they call it, they don't call it, you know, night shadows or dark matter for nothing. But let me ask you a really, really odd question, okay? And just tumble it around in your head.
Yeah.
And then people will know that Larry Taylor really has gone nuts. But something I was thinking about, you know, you and I a few days ago was talking about, you know, all the suddenness of a Lord's return or something. And you know, we don't understand a lot of times what it occurs biblically, you know, like the transformation there on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know,
yes,
in the Bible, you know, that's almost unexplainable. I mean, what we're looking
yes
at there, we're talking dimensional, we're talking supernatural. I mean, that was just, wow, is all I can say. But I got another question. Because the Lord can hide really, really incredible supernatural, multiple dimensional events in the Bible, and it appears to be just something he mentions that happened to some people, and then we move on, and it's almost like they're parables, and we don't quite understand. We think we know, but we don't really know, because, you know, just recently you and I, and you understood it, I believe, quicker than I did, talking about wormholes and portals. We're really in the Bible
yes
all along. We just didn't understand the terminology. But let me ask you this one, because when you begin to talk about a gravitational wave that would affect somehow time-space, we don't understand
yes
it. We know that the Creator created time, and it's really a mechanism of almost imprisonment, because we're all locked in it. I mean, all I can ever do is exist today. You know, I
yes
can't go to yesterday, and I can't go to tomorrow, not easily anyway. And so I exist in the today. Every day is today. And so
yes
what I was thinking about was, you know, when John, where you remember that one of the other disciples he asked about Jesus because he thought Jesus was spending a little too much attention on John. He said, well, what about John, you know? And Jesus made a very, very, very bizarre, strange statement. He turned to that disciple, and it might have been Peter. I can't remember exactly.
I think it was
but
Peter.
He said, he said, what if it be that I let John be alive until I return? You remember that?
Yes, I do. And I've often wondered if that's, and if you go into the book of Revelation, it talks about how John is to testify before nations, kindreds, and tongues once again. And when you couple that with the remark that the Lord made, what's it to you, Peter, if John lives until I come back? That would almost tend to indicate that one of the witnesses could be, and I'm saying could be, I'm not asking people to believe it, could be John. John represents the love of God. Elijah or somebody like that represents the wrath of God. So you could have the two witnesses. One represents the New Testament. The other one represents the Old Testament. Remember, judgment and mercy meet at the cross of Jesus Christ. So John would be an ideal witness, and it would fulfill that prophecy. I'm not saying that's the way it is, because I know most people think they're both Old Testament prophets. But remember, we have the tribulation saints, if you want to call them that, and they are beheaded for the testimony of Jesus. And this is during the tribulation. Would not John be an ideal individual to come down here to give those that were left behind knowledge and faith and trust? Yeah, we got to put our head in the guillotine. So what? You know? I don't know. I mean, it's what you were saying. It's fascinating because he did
say
that.
Yeah, I wondered if that's more of a parable and something that we just almost cannot understand. You know, I know that people have written books and books on what the Bible means, but I'm not sure
Yes. We've
got that down real well yet.
Well, I don't think so, because the Lord says, well, when it happens and you're looking back on it, then you'll understand what I said. So really what we're involved in is speculation, but it's always fun to speculate.
You
can't really be too dogmatic about it. You got to have a really open heart. It's like the arguments on the rapture of the church. Well, there is no such word in the Bible, so therefore there is no rapture. Well, the word Bible isn't in there either, so I guess there's no Bible. So, you know, you have to just kind of open up a person's heart. If you really want to be a Christian that the Lord approves of, you got to have an open heart. And you have to get involved in this so-called bizarre paranormal stuff, because the Bible, to me, is the most paranormal book that's ever been written and handed to humanity. It's full of paranormal stuff to us, you know, living here.
Exactly.
So before we run out of time, what's your take on this Hillary Trump operation? I listened to Trump on his 1 hour, I guess you call it, news thing that he gave. And he's not pulling any punches. I mean, he's telling it exactly like it is. So,
well,
again,
you know,
I have to ask. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to mention, you know, what's my take on, I'll tell you what's really interesting. You know, because I've stayed in so much trouble by people that hate Israel, and, you know, and of course now all of a sudden they hate Trump too, but Trump is the only person I've ever seen that people hate as much as they do Israel. And I'm beginning to think that, you know, this Cyrus, the Persian king, there may be something to that. That might be an opportunity for a delay before we go into this other stuff. However, will it happen? Boy, I don't know. I mean, it's almost like everybody that can reject Israel on the planet does. And now I'm seeing just a businessman that wants to run for president, and everybody hates him. His own party hates. I mean, I can't, you know, everybody hates him. And I'm thinking, this is so bizarre. I can't understand, you know, it almost makes me wonder, because the things that people on this planet hate the worst seems to be what God's doing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if God's got his hand on it, it's going to be hated by humanity no matter what, I guess, except for his own people. And, you know, you were even talking about how the police, towards the end, there's some sort of a military industrial police, I don't know what you'd want to call them, that have kind of an Antichrist spirit that just rises up. It's irrational. It has no basis in fact.
I think that it's a spirit, and I think the deeper we go into this New World Order situation, the deeper, the stronger this spirit becomes. And what appears to me now, what I'm seeing, Stuart, and I'd like your opinion on this, there are rumors that the Obama administration, towards this end of things, are wanting to federalize all police forces in the country, all of them, which means
that's not a rumor.
That you know, if that does occur, that will mean that the cities, the local, like sheriffs, the state police, they would no longer have any power. That their power and authority would come out of Washington D.C., or you could say the beast, And then would that allow this deceptive spirit to just cover even the police that are still there, and they just become part of this beast system? You know, that's, I look at that, and because we do know there's still good cops in there, but maybe
yes.
there's a natural transformation by our government that then causes a spiritual transformation of the police forces, and it's all different.
Yeah, I mean, you were in police work for years and years and years, and there's been a change in attitudes, and I don't blame the police for it. What I blame is when you have a rogue police officer who does bad stuff because he's wearing a badge and he's a psychopath, and they don't do anything about it. They try to cover their tracks, and what that does is turn the civilians against all police, even the good ones. It's not rational.
Yeah, but you want me to let the cat out of the bag who those usually wind up being?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll put it this way. From my investigations in this type of activity for almost 35 years, usually the ones, these bad eggs, are usually Masons. And they're linked in to the Masonic leadership of every single community out there. And the cover-up is a Masonic cover-up. It's not necessarily, a New World Order cover-up. It's a local Masonic cover-up. And it's a local thing. And this, you know, sadly, it seems to me that the cover-ups, it's all, because that's one thing I found out. The Masonic judges, who almost all of them are, would never allow another Mason to be declared guilty in their courts and really go to prison. These are the cover-ups that have occurred for 30-something years or more. It's been a Masonic cover-up, basically, in this country especially.
Well, you know, that would go hand-in-hand with the fact that the Masons are deeply involved in the New World Order, and then you go to the protocols, the so-called protocols that don't exist but are being fulfilled with 100% accuracy, which is strange for something that doesn't even exist, but it talks about driving a wedge between the civilians and the police forces.
That's right.
Police forces are government. So it drives a wedge between the people and the government to the point where it gets so bad that the people begin to rebel, and that's the excuse for the crackdown and the bringing in of martial law. And it makes perfect sense. I guess if I was a head Mason running this thing, I'd do the same thing. If you want to topple a nation, you've got to drive a huge web between the people and their rulers. But in America, it appears different in a way because it becomes ruler against ruler. It's almost as though when this thing begins to go down and the governors begin to realize what's really happening and what this really means, they become rogues, kind of like
yeah.
Putin, kind of like the rest
yeah.
of them. What do you think?
Oh, I think you're hitting a little bit of nail on the head right there. And what's interesting is Stephen Coote's book, Liberty's Last Stand, and how that lays pretty well what you just said out, you know?
They got to, you know, you can't have unrest unless you stir it up. Because people, by and large, I believe, I mean, yeah, you got your drunks and you got your, you know, the riffraff that goes around beating up people, robbing, raping, murdering, et cetera, et cetera. But by and large, I think most people want to simply be left alone and
yeah.
pursue their life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And they don't want to have all this stuff going on. But unfortunately, as Trump says, the silent majority has remained silent almost too long. And now they are beginning to wake up, which makes Trump extremely dangerous. Now, we got two prophecies that I've read about. One says that Trump is for real. He's going to get elected. No matter what mud they throw upon him, it bounces right off him. And you know, he's a Teflon guy. And it goes back against those throwing it because he is anointed of the Lord. And he will be elected. And he will start to change things around. Now, you remember David Wilkinson had a vision, and he said towards the end there was going to be a revival of sorts just before it all went south.
That's right.
Could
That's
Trump
right.
be that revival, do you think?
Well,
the other
I'll tell you what
he said he's not going to be elected.
Yeah, what's very interesting, Stuart, is the fact that even Putin has come out and said if Obama continues to lead, that we will be at war with Russia, and if Hillary is elected, we will go to war. And the only thing option he left open was if Trump is elected, without saying it, he didn't say we was going to war with Trump. So is Trump the only option to delay a World War III or a war with Russia or an attack on us by Russia for a short time while this occurs? But then I want to add this because I know we're running out of time. The one thing you've got, though, when you're running an operation, some type of operation over the U.S., basically, and you're dividing the people from the police, and when it becomes so violent, though, you almost need an executive order to cover civilian casualties.
Yes, you're right. And maybe that's what that executive order is all about that Obama signed. This thing, we don't know what the hand of the Lord is actually going to do. I mean, obviously he's going to protect his own.
Yeah.
But as to how that is going to be done or where he places people, I guess remains to be seen. But and all of this to me is just extremely fascinating. And we got a couple minutes left. What's the war situation over in Israel? It doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't. And right now, Russia seems to be playing both sides in the Middle East right at the moment. Of course, that's what Russia does a lot. And there seems to be, I've got a couple of messages out of Israel and warning about war, that we're going to war. And what it appears to be, it seems that there actually the war, as a matter of fact, I saw reports today and posted it, that they're saying the third Lebanon war is about to start. Now, when you say Lebanon, you're talking to Hezbollah. And, of course,
yes.
We know that Russia recently has supposedly actually given Hezbollah anti-aircraft missile capability that Israel says was a red line for Hezbollah, which means we're right at the war level right now. And, of course, Hamas and their terror tunnels, they're working hard, too. And so Israel knows that, of course, all of this is backed up by Iran. This really is being led by Iran, an attack on Israel by all the forces surrounding Israel. We're
Iran,
almost right
yeah.
there. We're at a real critical time. But that reminds me again, Stuart, and we may have to do another show next week, but a guy by the name of Bill Salas did a really interesting, he called it Nuclear Showdown in Iran, revealing the ancient prophecy of Elam, E-L-A-M. And, of course, he talks about it being like a Psalm 83 situation, and he used scripture of Jeremiah 49:34-39. Jeremiah 49 talks about Elam doesn't go to war against Israel because he thinks that Bush, the nuclear power plant is struck possibly by Israel, and it actually takes Elam out as a whole portion of that land.
The radioactivity,
Great disaster, a great catastrophe occurs, even worse than Fukushima.
Mm-hmm. How do they get hold of you, Larry? We've got about a minute left.
We could be close to that. So that's all I could, that's where we are. We're in a very serious situation.
Yeah, it could happen overnight.
Absolutely.
How do they get hold of you?
LarryWTaylor.org. That's LarryWTaylor.org. Thank you, Stuart.
Oh, I'm glad you could come on. Yeah, we'll have to do this again next week if you've got time to do it. There's so much going on, and the people are, I don't know, they're asleep, but maybe the Lord's got some jarring awake concepts in mind. Wake up, everybody, because times really are getting short. all the signs are coming, you know, in together. Anyway, we're out of time, so good night, everybody, and thank you for listening. Thank you, Larry. Talk to you later.
Thank you, Stuart.